Welcome to this month's Pulse. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Redonda Miller, the president of the Johns Hopkins Hospital.
Redonda, this month we're going to talk about prescription drug prices. And I know this is an area you know an awful lot about. I'm going to let you take the ball.
Well, prescription drug prices are a huge issue, not just for Johns Hopkins, but honestly for the entire country. We have had an unprecedented increase in drug pricing everywhere. Prices of 90% of our brand name prescription medications have doubled over the last several years. In the U.S., we spend $348 billion a year. And just to put it in a little bit of perspective, our new specialty drugs, drugs that we use to treat cancer, some of those are running on average $53,000 per course of treatment. That is more than the median income of a household in the United States.
These numbers are astonishing even to me. I know that in the last couple years, those new treatments for cancer that have been FDA approved have averaged $120,000 a year for treatment. Help me, where are these prices coming from?
It is very multifactorial, it really is. If I could relate it back to, just before I move on, to the Johns Hopkins Hospital experience. We have a drug budget of around $147 million here, and in one calendar year alone, take fiscal year 18, prices increased 18%. And that's just one hospital. When you think about all six of our hospitals, our outpatient services, our home infusions, our employee prescription benefits for all of our employees, all told, we as Johns Hopkins Health System spend over $650 million a year on medications. So it really hits home for us as well. You asked me, Elizabeth, why? Why are we seeing these crazy prices? What is going on? Well, it's honestly multifactorial. If I could label it with one issue that we could all focus on and fix, that would be easy. But of course, it's not that easy. Some of the reasons we're seeing this, we have new therapies that are very novel. A lot of R&D, research and development went into making those medications, and so they are very expensive. I don't know how much R&D, that's not completely transparent in a lot of the statements, and pricing of new drugs is not transparent to begin with, so I can't comment as to the details. I'll give you some examples though. Here at the hospital, we have a new medication, nusinersen. It treats children with spinal muscular atrophy. This is a fatal disease. Type 1 is fatal. They lose their muscle strength, they can't swallow, they can't breathe, and they pass. This new drug can potentially, I say potentially because it's only been out a couple years, it's only been FDA approved several months. We don't have a long-term experience with it, but it seems to halt progression. $750,000 for the first year of treatment with this medication, and it's a lifelong treatment. What else is at play here? Sole source providers, a loss of competition in the generic market. We have medications that have been around for decades, but for a variety of reasons, market consolidation, perhaps issues with manufacturing, it turns out that we end up with one manufacturer. So we have no competition and the prices are jacked up. Let me give you an example. Nitroprusside. This is a medication used to treat incredibly high blood pressure, and it brings it down safely for patients who are in danger of having a heart attack or stroke. It used to be $44 a vial. Over the course of a year, it went up to $830 a vial. And this is just one of several. What's another factor? Why are we seeing these price increases? Well, part of it has to do with perhaps we don't purchase drugs as a country and other countries do. So if you buy a medication in the United Kingdom or in Canada, you will often find that it costs significantly less than it does if you were to purchase it here. And it's because those countries bulk purchase pharmaceuticals. There are other reasons. I'm just alluding to three of the larger reasons, but there are others as well. But you can see it's a complex problem.
I have to applaud you for not indicting a lot of drug manufacturers for the greed factor. But from my seat in the bleachers, at least it looks like greed is a pretty powerful factor here. And I'll specifically give you naloxone for reversal of opioid overdose as an example of that.
Well, I do think there are bad actors in the pharmaceutical market. I don't think it's reflective of all companies, not by a long shot. But we do have the Martin Shkreli's of the world who unfortunately took advantage of a longstanding drug and a loss of market competition to really hike prices to a really unethical level, in my opinion. But I don't think that is reflective of the entire industry. And certainly we need to find those pockets of greed and do away with that.
It sounds to me, and even though this may be in our current political climate, not very palatable as a solution, that increased regulation is probably necessary.
I think you're right. I like to look at this problem as, what can we do here locally at Johns Hopkins Hospital to help ourselves in the short term? But then, what can we do long term as a country to help fix this problem? So maybe I'll start with what we do here at Johns Hopkins, because some of the fixes are long time in the coming. But at Johns Hopkins, what we do is, number one, we're raising awareness among our clinicians. Often they're shielded from the price of drugs. They prescribe and they don't have the dollar number sitting in front of them. So raising awareness among our providers. We're pursuing bulk purchasing and supply chain initiatives as best we can. Pharmacists and clinicians work together to try to figure out, can we substitute other medications that are less expensive when we experience a price hike? Now, I have to tell you, we're very careful when we do this. We want to make sure that any substitutions are equally effective for our patients and equally safe. You have to make sure that you are still providing outstanding clinical care. The final thing we're doing is we have a formulary management committee that manages the hospital formularies across the system. Experts who are very knowledgeable in their fields debate whether or not a new drug coming on the market has enough merit to be included into our hospital formularies. Does it add value to patients? They take a hard look at making sure every drug we add has merit.
Would you say that the precision medicine initiative that's underway here at Johns Hopkins is going to help to accelerate this process?
Absolutely, it will. We know that right now we tend to blanket prescribe medications for all patients with a condition. And we know full well that some patients will respond and some won't. But we have no ability to be precise, no ability to predict which patients derive benefit from which treatments. Precision medicine will allow us to do just that. Whether it's harnessing the power of genetics, whether it's factoring in environmental conditions, it will allow us to better target therapies for individual patients.
So what about on a national level?
It's a much tougher problem because I think some of this does involve increased oversight and regulation. When you wake up in the morning and think about who is focused on this nationally, who is focused on drug pricing and competitive markets, the answer right now is no one. So the FDA takes into account scientific evidence and determine whether a new drug works or not. Does it have merit? They don't have anything to do with pricing or oversight of competitive markets. One could argue that we need a person or we need a commission or someone who pays attention to make sure we don't have loss of competition and a sole source provider. I think we need to give some thought as a country as to bulk purchasing with CMS. And I think we need to pay attention to fair pricing of novel therapies. Whether this is a new division of HHS or who might this be, I don't know. But we need to make sure pharmaceutical companies are appropriately rewarded for the R&D that they have spent in developing new therapies and that they're allowed to make a fine operating margin to invest in future therapies. But at the same time, we need to make sure that those are fair and don't penalize patients.
Per your last point, many critics of our current system say, hey, after all, we are funding a lot of R&D at places like this one with public dollars, and that those are then taken by pharma at the last moment and formed into a drug that they can sell, and they reap the profits from that.
I do think you make a good point. A lot of the basic science that leads to these new incredible drugs do occur at academic medical centers, including Johns Hopkins. We are aggressively working on tech transfer and how we can harness the incredible work of our scientists to benefit us to some degree as well. But you are exactly right.
A final message then to both the staff of this hospital with regard to drug pricing and then to the larger public.
Well, I think I just can't reiterate enough how important this problem is. We are really in jeopardy of patients not being able to afford their medications. When a family has to decide whether they can go to the grocery store or buy the medications, that is not a place where the United States should be. This must be dealt with expeditiously.
Okay, that's this month's Pulse. I'm Elizabeth Tracy. Thank you very much.
Thank you.